All right. Well, hey, good morning. It is so good to be here together and to take some time to slow down, because I can't believe that it's already the third Sunday of Advent next week, and then it's, boom, it's Christmas. Here we are. And this morning, I want to remind us just to slow down, just to slow down. My hope, maybe you're here and you're one of the few and you're like, man, Derek, life is so slow. I don't know what's going on. And that's not the majority of us, I don't think. We've all got plenty going on and all kinds of pressures and things to get done. And so my hope is just to be a reminder, and this to be a time whenever we slow down and we take some time to consider Jesus, the one who this season is all about, and maybe even be to reminded as we go from here just to slow down and make sure not to miss out on what God has for us in this time. So throughout these 3 weeks thus far, my hope has been just to remind us and for us to see with wonder and amazement again the story of whenever Jesus first came to earth. Because with his coming brought this dilemma that was brought before us, as Ryan shared a moment ago, that there is this decision as Jesus came and he shook things up and turned the world all upside down. And even as he came and as was presented to before us, there is a decision that is to be made by every single one of us that affects us to the core about our lives. And okay, so what does that mean about how I'm going to, what am I going to do with this life that I have as I consider who Jesus is? And so this morning as we begin, I want to ask you to turn to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to continue reading through this Christmas story, this familiar story, and I pray that this morning the Lord just speaks to you and meets you exactly with what you need to hear. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20 is what we're going to read, and so as you turn there, let's all stand for the reading of God's word. Luke writes this, and he says, "And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.' And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them." Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this morning as we turn to your word, Lord, we ask that you would speak to us. We ask that we would have hearts and ears ready to hear and eyes ready to see what it is that you have for us this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you are not a God who is afar off and who is distant and has no concern for us, but that you are the exact opposite, that you are here and that you are near and that you are with us and that you speak into our lives. And so help us now as we come. In your name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Well, as this passage tells us here, we're told in verse 8 that it's nighttime and there the shepherds are out in the fields keeping watch over their flocks by night. There are shepherds doing what they do. They are protecting, they are caring for, they are feeding their sheep, as sheep are wanderers and always needing to be watched. And while the shepherds may not think that they're all that special, maybe pretty ordinary, as our cowboy said this morning to us, like, who is he? Who am I that anyone would even listen to me? These guys weren't anybody with any special power or privilege or resources. They were just some unlikely guys and shepherds and out in the fields watching their sheep. And the unexpected happens. And an angel of the Lord shows up to them, appears, and we're told that the glory of the Lord shows up. I think you just close your eyes and you consider, what must that have been like? It's dark, it's night, and just thinking, there we are out hanging out with our sheep. It's just another night. We don't know if it was a nice night. We don't know if it was a cloudy night. We don't know anything about that. It doesn't really matter. What matters is that angel showed up. And then the glory of the Lord showed up, and these guys are just blown away by it. These guys, they weren't anybody special. It wasn't that they had earned this, that they were had done so many good deeds or anything like that, that they got the favor of God to come and that they were the ones who got to have God show up to them through an angel. It wasn't because of any of that. And they are filled with fear, we're told. And the angel says to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." He says it really quickly as they are afraid, we're told. And he says, don't worry. He wants them to know that the great fear that they are experiencing is going to be replaced by a great joy. Because something great has happened. And I don't know, have you ever heard news that you just think is too great? There is no way that this can happen, that this news could be true. I think we've all probably experienced that kind of news. Hopefully it was good news, because we're talking about good news. Rachel, my daughter, earlier this year, of course she skips out right now. I was going to mention her story. I know, she's helping me out. So Rachel, she signs up for something, and she's told in through an email, no, was it through Twitter or something like that, that she has won these VIP concert tickets to some concert of an artist that she's really into in Pittsburgh. And she's like, what? No way. You're getting in the building first, like a couple hour or two ahead. You get, you know, this little bag from the artist with all whatever stuff. And then you get to be in the front row and all this. And I'm like, is this for real? And she's like questioning it. Could it really be? And after like 10 emails back and forth with these people who I don't even know how, we went for it, and we went down, and there she was, found herself enjoying a great night in the front row of this concert. But there is like that kind of news that is just so great, she couldn't believe it, just blown away by it. Could it really be that good? But it really was that good. Here we're told that there is this joy that replaces this fear because there is this news that has come and that everything changed because of this news. And so what's at the center of it? And here's what Christmas is all about. This is the news. That's the good news. We've sung of it this morning. We've sung these very words. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Talk about a birth announcement that beats all others. Who's this baby that is born? He is a Savior that is born. Which means that there is this baby has been born is one who saves. It means that there are people who need rescue, that there are people who needed saving, and this is the guy, this is the one who comes to save. But not only is he a Savior, some Savior, but he is Christ the Lord. He is, as they would understand that, he was the promised Messiah. He was the one that the prophet Isaiah had spoken of many years before and that they had been waiting for and longing for and waited expectantly for. And the prophet Isaiah, he spoke of him in this way. He said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And what's so great about him, the government shall be upon his shoulders and his name shall be called, we know, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of peace," and we could take time and just work through each one of those. And how wonderful it is that he is the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, into our hard things in life and into our worries and into our concerns and into all the struggles and the tensions that there are in our lives. He's the one who comes in, and he's our Prince of Peace. And that his reign shall be a never-ending reign. And so that's the message, that the angels come and that they declare to them. And now it's time to get the word out, and that's who this child is. And so look at where they're going to find him. Where is that this Messiah will be? Verse 12, this one who is God in flesh is going to be found born in a manger of all places. And so that's the news, really simply. Then what's their response? Well, the angels show up all the more, and they sing out, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. The shepherds, if I'm them and all these angels show up to me, I'm going to go do exactly what they say. And so they go and they check this out and they see, let's go see this thing that has happened. And when they see it, they continue to make known the saying that had been told them concerning Jesus. They go out and they keep on telling. And they tell people all about it. And they get the word out about the birth of Jesus. And everybody's in wonder and amazement. Mary, there she is in verse 19. She's treasuring all these things up in her heart. Back to the shepherds in verse 20. They can't stop glorifying. They can't stop praising God for all that they have heard and seen. They have experienced the fulfillment of what God had said was going to happen. They had experienced the glory of God. So it's a real simple story that we know so well. And this morning, I just want to take a little bit of time and hopefully there is some encouragement for us and a reminder in all of it. Because it's just getting back to the basics. Here's the question. And every time we come to Jesus, we are faced with a question, and it's the dilemma. And this morning, there's the dilemma of joy that we're talking about. Because here is this child, Jesus, whose birth we celebrate. He's the long-awaited promised Messiah, the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. He's the great shepherd who left all the riches and comfort of heaven to come and to save us, who like sheep have gone astray. And why does Jesus matter? And why does Jesus matter to us today? I think the first thing is that there is joy to be had. Jesus matters because in the midst of the unrest, in the midst of the worry, in the midst of the fears, in the midst of all the concerns of our lives, there is joy to be had. And Jesus comes into all of that, all of the baggage and all of the stuff that there is in your life. You got to know that Jesus came and he came into all of that. And all of those hard things that we experience and all of those things that we go through, and maybe right now we are going through it, he's come for that very reason and he steps right in. Nothing's too ugly and nothing's too dirty for him. And he can replace all of that, and even in the midst of that, he comes and he brings joy. I just looked throughout the New Testament and I punched in the words joy this week and see, okay, how often does the word joy come up in, say, a concordance kind of thing? And all these verses over and over, it's all about joy all throughout the New Testament tied to what Jesus brings. It is what Jesus is all about, bringing joy to our hearts. In John chapter 16, verse 20, chapter 16, over and over in verses 20 and forward, just you see the word joy over and over and over. But Jesus said this, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. In chapter 17, but now I'm coming to you and these things I speak in the world, that they may have joy fulfilled in themselves. In Acts, as the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit, in chapter 13, it speaks about how they were filled with joy. In Romans chapter 14, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Paul, as he's writing in Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. James, he says, count it all joy, my brothers, even whenever you're in the midst of the hardest of things. And Peter, he says this, though you have not seen him, talking about Jesus, you love him. And though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. There is this joy that we can know because of Jesus in our hearts that we can't even express it enough. It is so great. It's unspeakable joy. And the benediction that we often use, taken from Jude 24, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy." It's all over. You want to know joy in your life? Who do we need? We need Jesus. And that's why Jesus has come. We have nothing to fear because the Savior of the world has come to seek and to save those who are lost. And this Jesus, whose birth we celebrate, in him is found unspeakable joy. But Jesus matters because, one more time, God shows himself that we can have confidence in him, that he keeps his promises, that he keeps his word. He said he was going to come, and he did it. He said he will come again. And that's what we're looking forward to, his second advent. He says he'll be with us no matter what, and we can bank on it. And because this child is born, then we have a reason to worship. We have a reason to be here, that he's the reason we are here, to praise and sing and glorify him. And we have a job to go and tell others. That's what you do whenever you experience something amazing. A few weeks ago, I was just reminded of it this week. Actually, on Friday, I think, Christy, you brought it up. You're like, you mentioned those coconut cookies at the Christmas dinner. You know what happened? I enjoyed them. By the way, if you made those, I don't know who made them. Let me know, because I want to know the recipe. But I just mentioned it real quick that I enjoyed them. I heard there were people, swarms of people, going over and trying to grab coconut cookies before they left that night. That's what we do, right? Whenever we experience something good, we want to tell people. And then those people, they hear it, and they get to experience the joy of it also. Who would have dreamed? Who would have dreamed that this is how it was all going to take place? It's the first line that the choir sang to us today. It's a line we're going to sing in a little bit as we close our time together. Who would have dreamed that this is how it was going to happen, that the Savior of the world was going to come, that God was going to save his people? It's the best news ever. And what will you do with such joyous news as we wrap this up today and we bring it to a close? This week we laid to rest our dear sister Pat Morton. And during her memorial service, I shared that one of the Bible verses that stuck out to me as I just was able to leaf through her Bible, at least one of her Bibles, and one of the verses that she had highlighted was this that stuck out to me. "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Just think of that. That's what... You know, as I think of Pat, she's just this faithful lady who came in, and there's many faithful people in here and could say the same, but she would come in, and there was this thing about her where I knew that sums up where her heart was, that Jesus had her heart, that she had found joy in him, unspeakable joy, that she was like, yeah, that's me. "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." She'd found a joy like none other in Jesus. It had changed her life. And she became a woman who is passionately pursuing and wanting to know Jesus. She was a prayer warrior. I was told someone after the service, they just came up and wanted to comment, like, yeah, she was such a prayer. I remember one time I was driving past her house and right up here, and she was out sitting on her porch on her chair and stopped in and just asked her, what was she doing? And she's like, "Oh, I'm just here. I have my prayer notebook, and I'm just praying. I'm just praying through, you know, my list of stuff." And I know, like, in the senior class, that was, she just led, and she was such a special lady taking the lead in regards to just praying for folks. Spending time with her Lord. And she'd regularly let me know that she was praying for me, praying for my family. "The joy of the Lord was her strength. And then to hear Barry say, I don't see them here today, but her grandson get up and say, it was because of my grandma. It's because of my grandma that I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ. You see that? What happens whenever you find joy in Jesus, when Jesus shows up in your life and you get changed to the core, and he transforms your life, you can't help but start telling people about it. It can't be helped that people see there's something different going on. You can't keep it in. And here, Pat, she did that. She prayed. And here her grandson is. And I remember him starting to come whenever he was in his teenage years. And here he is standing up and he's saying, it's because of my grandma that I'm here. I don't know how they kept it together. Talking on, right, Lisa? It's like, how did they keep it together? I'm sitting up here like, ah. But as we come to a close, I want to encourage you to slow down and reflect on Jesus. It's all about him. He's the light of the world who stepped into the darkness of our world, into the suffering and the hurting and the pain, and he brought peace, and he brings hope, and he brings joy. Right here, we got all kinds of things on this tree, I noticed. Cindy and the team right here. But we got hope. I thought there was joy over here. But this morning, this is what I saw. I saw hope. Sorry. But there's hope. There's peace. Do you see it? There is joy? I did see it. Okay. Right there it is. Joy. Thank you, Kristen. You're always there for me. There's joy, and that's what it's all about. He steps into it, and when you can't see it, and you think there is no joy in life, right? It's there. If we just look close enough and slow down and listen. Listen to your wife. In the midst of it all. There's joy. Thank you. It works. And that's what he does. He shows up and he brings laughter into those times when you need it so bad. So that's what he did for the shepherds. Don't think he won't do it for you. Don't think he can't do it for you. That's what he does. He shows up right when we need it. That's what Christmas is all about. Our God comes near to each of us. It's because of his love for us that he came into a dark and broken world. And through his son Jesus, he comes and he brings joy. Doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy. It doesn't mean that life is just all cleaned up whenever we turn to him and we're trusting in him. Life is hard. All throughout Scripture, New Testament, does it get easier for people who follow Jesus? I think sounds like it gets harder. In a lot of ways, if we're truly following after him and being obedient to him and faithful to his call. And so it's not about our circumstances. There's a joy that is so much deeper that we're talking about here. And it only comes through Jesus as we trust in him. Matthew 1:20-23, and he will save his people from their sins. This is why we can have joy. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that's you and me. We are the sinners that he has come to save. He's made a way for us. He shed his blood on the cross, from the cradle to the cross. That's the journey he took on our behalf. And so this morning, what will you do with Jesus? When you found a joy like this, who are you going to tell about Jesus? These shepherds, they could have gone back to doing whatever they were doing. and said, who are we? And maybe you're here this morning saying, who am I? I'm a nobody. You don't know my story. My story's no good. There's nothing I have to say. No one would believe me anyhow. But the shepherds show us that's not true. That God uses everybody. And so who will you go and tell this best news ever? And let's not miss out on Jesus. And if you're here this morning, you haven't yet surrendered your life to Jesus. I want to tell you, as one person who has experienced the love of Jesus in the deepest of ways, there's no greater joy than knowing Jesus. And I want to invite you to come and to follow him and trust him. Let's bow our heads. And if that's you this morning, I invite you to turn to him. I invite you to place your life in his hands. And just listen in and ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want to say to me now?